Well, I too greet you in Jesus' name. Been blessed with the service already, with the songs, with the messages that were shared here this morning. Maybe we can just pause and have a time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before you here this morning again with thanksgiving. We thank you for your word that was already shared here this morning, and just pray, Lord, that you would help us to grasp the truths that were shared this morning. Help us to apply them to our lives here and as we move forward. And Lord, I pray this morning also, as we look further into your word, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to each one of our hearts here, the needs that we have. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to hear, help us to be able to apply those things to our own personal lives. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to grow. Help us to make the changes that we need to make so that can happen, Lord. I pray this morning that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. And I pray this morning that you would be with those that are not here in this building, those that may be listening in here this morning. I just pray, Lord, that you would minister to their hearts as well, that you would bless them, that you would keep your hand over their lives. We thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I, too, would like to turn to Ephesians this morning and go to chapter 5. I think I'm going to start reading here in chapter 5, verse 1, and read through verse 17. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no warmonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In verse 15 here is the piece that I would like to focus on a little bit here this morning, and that is, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. When we stop and just take that verse in and understand what it is telling us here, is we see here it's, you know, we think about not just going about life aimlessly, but to have, but rather to walk with purpose. In one hand, you know, when we walk aimlessly, it's sort of like we just let things happen. We don't really have a plan for our life. But when we think about walking with purpose, we think about a vision, a goal in mind. And he's telling us, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We go back to verse 8. We see here in this verse, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He's reminding us here that where we were in the past and where we are now, ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And when I see verse 15 there, you know, he's reminding us to walk carefully, not as the foolish do, but as the wise, purposing to do what he's telling us here in verse 8 is to walk as children. What kind of children? Children that have experienced Jesus, that have had a change of heart. Walk as children of light, as children of God. The life, when we think about the beginning there, we think about the life of darkness, the life that I used to be. You know, we can think about a life living that is self-centered, thinking for myself. You know, back before I knew the Lord, my life was very self-centered. I was easily angered. I had a temper that wasn't in check often. And if things didn't go the way I wanted, it was obvious. If people didn't do or behave the way I thought that was appropriate, my temper would show. I was used to being disobedient to my parents as a young teenager. That was something that I gloried in. I found opportunities to do things that I wasn't supposed to do. I chose to listen to music that was ungodly, a life that was focused on pleasure. You know, when we think about darkness here in, you know, that was part of my life. And in verse 15, he's telling us not to walk as fools, but as wise. And as in verse 8 there, you know, we're to walk as children of light. We're not to walk in the life that we used to. But if we don't walk as children of light, and we choose and don't walk with purpose, if we just, you know, we had a life changed and life goes on, you know, it's easy to when life tarries on, and the days turn into weeks, and the weeks turn into months, and the months turn into years, and time goes on, it's easy to lose focus of our goals, of our relationships, and if we don't purpose to be wise today. If I don't get up this morning, you know, if I got up this morning was just like, well, we'll see what happens today. But if we get up in the morning and we say, you know, I want to have purpose. I want my life to be meaningful. And we don't allow that old self to come back. We recognize it. We hear God's Holy Spirit speaking into our hearts and showing us things, and we keep those things cleaned out. And God is telling us, you know, those old things are to be gone, but rather we're to walk in newness of life, righteousness and truth, proving with our lives what is acceptable unto God. You know, proving not only by our words, by our speech, but by our actions, by the way that we live life out. In Proverbs 14, verse 15, it tells us there that the simple, you know, the simple just believe. They easily believe anything. But the prudent give thoughts to their steps. They think about the steps that they're taking, the things that they take in as truth. They ponder those things. So this morning, when we think about walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Where are we in our journey this morning? Are we walking in newness of life? Are we excited about what life holds, has for us? Or have we grown lax? Have we started just living today, finding ourselves drifting aimlessly? You know, the difference between the fools, the foolish, and the wise. You know, the foolish will just take the day and do whatever comes along with their time, with their finances. You know, they will say, well, yeah, I've got a few dollars. I guess I'll just spend them. They don't consider deeply the things that they take on. They believe the things that they hear and are easily persuaded to go back to their old life, looking for the easy way. I think Melvin shared about that in the last meeting here about, you know, life in battles in that life is, you know, our walk with the Lord has battles. We take on battles, and it's part of our life. The wise, on the other hand, walk with purpose and give thought to their decisions. Focus on staying on course. Is willing to take those hard roads for Jesus. And as I consider those two roads, as we consider those two roads, you know, where do we find ourselves standing? Are we being wise? Are we thinking about those decisions that we make? Or do we find ourselves looking for the easy road, not processing and when we look at verse 15 there, classing with those that are not wise. Recently, I heard this speaker talking about finances and talking to a group of people that was in financial trouble. And the tendency is for these people, when they're financially not able to make their payments, the tendency is to hide. They know that they owe a payment, a mortgage payment, a car payment, a whatever it might be. And the tendency is to go into denial. No, I can't afford it. We run away from our creditors. And in some cases, you hear people, you know, hiding their vehicle so it can't be taken from them. And they somehow think that in the end, it's going to be okay. There was a young man that I knew, maybe he isn't so young anymore, but back when I was a young man, there was this man that I knew that he had a really nice bike. But the bank owned his bike. And he wasn't making his payments. And he knew that they were going to come and take this really nice bike. And so in his, I don't know, frustration or anger, because he knew he was losing it, you know, he tore the seat all to shreds and beat it up and made it look all bad. And, you know, those kinds of things only make our problems worse. They don't solve anything. The wise person in this situation, when he realizes that he's in financial trouble, will instead turn towards his creditors. And he will start talking to them and saying, it's like, well, you know, I lost my job, or I spent my money foolishly, and I'm behind. And that creditor is much more likely to say, it's like, well, let's come up with a plan that will work for you. And let's make some changes. And we find common ground. And I was, you know, that's what, on a spiritual sense, that's what we see many people doing in life. They realize that they are in a position in life where they're not okay with God. And they will, instead of running towards God, they find themselves running away, hiding, and becoming angry and doing things that really isn't helpful. If we turn to Genesis chapter 3, I think we can see a very good example of that here. Going down to verse 8, very familiar account here. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they had done what they were told not to do. And they heard the voice of the Lord. And they heard the voice of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. We see here in this account, you know, Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. A common thing that happens to mankind is they don't pay attention and they allow self to rise up and walk against God. And we see here this happening. And they realize at some point that they did something they shouldn't have done. And we see them going into hiding. And we also see them giving true statements here as God asked questions. He said, Why did you do this? And they passed the blame on, which was true. We see that. And I'd just like for us to just hang on to that information and just to ponder that. In Exodus, if we turn to Exodus here in chapter 2, we see another account here with Moses. Going down to verse 11, Moses was coming to his people and he had a desire to help his people. And we see him here in verse 11. It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. We see that he sees their hardships, their trials, and he sees that life isn't treating them fairly. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. Verse 12 here, we see Moses stepping into the picture and taking things into his own hands. And we can take note here, before he took action, we see him looking around, seeing if anybody is watching. That can be a warning sign for us. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh. and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Just a little picture here of Moses, a little piece in his life here, and we see him as he made that decision there. In verse 12, he was about to do something that he knew he can't get caught in. And he was very careful to make sure that no one was watching. A big mistake. You know, when we find ourselves in life and we're about to commit something and we have to stop and look around and see if anybody is observing. We can, a light bulb should come on in our lives and we should know that we need to turn around. But we also see here in Moses' life here that, you know, this was one step, but he also had to remove himself from the people. And he was found himself alone, running for his life, in hiding. It reminds us a little bit of Adam and Eve, you know, as they committed a sin there, and they were hiding from God. And something that often goes hand in hand is, you know, we start hiding from God, and we very quickly find ourselves doing what Moses is doing here. We shut down. We can't talk to people because we're trying to keep our life hidden like Adam and Eve were, and we're afraid to talk about it. And so we try to remove ourselves from people. And so as we analyze our lives, you know, what do we see coming forth in our lives? Do we find ourselves having communion with God and people, our brothers and sisters? Or do we see ourselves being fearful? In Ephesians there, chapter 5, verse 15 is calling us to live as a wise person with purpose, not as the foolish, but do just meandering through life, but having purpose. Being an example of what a believer's life should be. My prayer is this morning that we find ourselves in this position and feel at peace, you know, as God comes walking through our gardens in the morning, as he calls on our names, as he meets with us, that we have communion and we're able to share our joys, our struggles, our failures. Those are all part of a relationship with God this morning. It's not about coming to God with a life that is perfect, but it is like that person that is indebted and got himself into trouble, and he turns towards his creditors and he starts talking about it. And this person will talk about his good times. And he will talk about how he got himself in trouble and why he got himself in trouble. These are the kinds of conversations that God wants to have with you. He doesn't want you to turn your back and go in hiding, but he wants to hear from you. And that's what the wise person will do. He will think about his life, and he will think about what the foolish do and the experiences that maybe we had when we were foolish, and we won't continue to go down that place. Maybe this morning we found ourselves in a place where we realize that we have drifted back and we've allowed some of our old life to have its way. And we're at a place that we realize that we need fresh purpose. Maybe that's where we're at this morning. That's a good place to be. Jesus is about healing hearts. He's about helping us when we're in that place. But maybe this morning we find ourselves in hiding, in denial, not wanting to take responsibility. We heard the conversation there between God and Adam and Eve. And they were in denial. They didn't take responsibility, but they chose instead to put blame on someone else. And it was a true statement. There was blame there. Someone else helped them make that decision. What did God tell Adam and Eve? Did they have to take responsibility for their actions in spite of that? We see there in that account, if we keep reading there in Genesis, that God did deal with their sin. And there was consequences for their sin in spite of them being able to blame someone else. So this morning, God wants us to take responsibility for where we are. Let's not be as the foolish, but be wise and find purpose. Find a renewed vision, or seek the Lord for healing in our hearts if that's what we need. If we find ourselves this morning with hearts that are hurting or hardened, God wants to change that in us. This morning, when God came to Adam and Eve and asked them questions, they started talking about other circumstances in their life and tried to get out of the focus. But God wasn't interested in talking about those things. When God comes to us and asks us questions and starts knocking on our hearts and lives, he's usually not focusing on the other problems that are around us, the other needs that are there. But he wants to focus on my heart. And he wants to focus on my life. And he wants to deal with that, just like he did there with Adam and Eve. And so let's think about that and not allow ourselves to go down those roads. In Ezekiel chapter 36, I'd like to read a couple of verses here. God is about changing hearts. He wants to have us experience healing. In verse 25, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people. And I will be your God." That is what he's telling the people here. And that message this morning is for us here as well. God is about changing our hearts. He is about wanting to bring healing. We turn to Philippians chapter 3. We read the first three verses here. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Be aware of dogs. Be aware of evil workers. Be aware of the consistent. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." As we look at those three verses there, he's writing some warnings here. It would appear like there's things going on that could be hurtful, harmful, like not very pleasant. But he starts the verse here in verse 1, "Rejoice in the Lord." He wants them to be thankful, to be rejoicing. And when we think about rejoicing in the Lord, we have to have a heart that we understand that God is real in my life, that He's taking care of me. He understands. And so it's can't be a heart of complaining and not trusting. So we see here that he's encouraging that in chapter 4 in Philippians. Again here in verse 4, he tells them, Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He's just encouraging them to have hearts that are joyful. And, you know, when I process that in my own life, you know, in order to be there, I have to be walking a certain way. I have to be walking a life that is wanting to have purpose, that is wanting to wanting to be real with God and finding, seeing things that God is doing in my life. And when we recognize areas that God is working out in my own life, and we see that, and we acknowledge that it is God's hand in my life, it brings us to a point of rejoicing. Brings us to a heart that is thankful. And so I see that, you know, that wise person walking wisely, but not as the fools. And so we recognize God's hand in our lives. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, going down to verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we read these verses here, we are reminded of where our focus needs to be. If our focus is on our life here and now, our well-being, our physical well-being, our world here, we will quickly become discouraged, and the joy will be pulled out of us, so to speak. But when we, when we realize our shortcomings, you know, that's discouraging. But when we focus on eternal, when we focus on the things of the Lord, when we focus on what God has done for me, what he is doing, and when we focus on the things that we have entrusted into His hands, and we rest in that, when we have our children's lives, when we have our visions, our desires in the hand of Christ, and we know that He's going to take care of those things, you know, it changes. It changes us. It makes us, you know, it gives us the ability to rejoice when the world is looking on and saying, they shake their head and they wonder, why? How? What's the matter with these people? It's because the things that we're focusing on are not seen by the eyes of men, but they're things that are of the Lord. So back to verse 7 there. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. When the world sees that in our lives, this treasure in earthen vessels, when they see God coming out of our lives, they realize that they have something, that we have something that they don't. My prayer this morning is, that is what you, what we are experiencing. This morning, we serve a God that wants to heal hearts. He wants to have relationships with you. And like God came to Adam and Eve, and they tried to focus on something other than themselves, but God didn't excuse them. And so this morning, let's not go down those roads. But let's recognize wherever our journey is at that God wants to heal my heart. He wants me to have a working relationship with Him. He wants me to have a working relationship with my brothers and sisters. He doesn't want me to be in hiding. Remember in Ezekiel there, God is about changing hearts. He wants to heal you. He wants to be your God. That is what God wants from each one of us. You know, like that creditor that he knows the person that's not making payments, that's not the way that he wants that relationship to be. He would much sooner sit down and come up with a plan that works. And have a working relationship that works. That's the kind of God that we serve this morning. He wants us to experience a clean heart, a new heart, You know, if we have a stony heart, he wants to give us a heart of flesh and put his spirit within us. And he wants to be our God. May the Lord bless you as we analyze our lives, as we understand where we're at, and let's allow God to work in our hearts. Let's allow him to change our hearts. You know, if we have a heart that is in hiding, God isn't going to force us to come out of that position, but he's going to give us opportunity. He's going to call us. He's going to invite us. But we have, like Adam and Eve, you know, they heard God's voice talking to them. Yes, they were afraid, and they had things to say about themselves. But we see them responding. So as God calls, as God speaks into your heart, into your life, let's be the kind of people, the wise people, that listen, that hear, that respond. And we allow God to change us, to make us into the people that he wants us to be and the people that we want to be. May God bless.